This is Weekend Edition on WNYC. Good morning, I'm David First. During the 2016 campaign, fact-checkers were working overtime to show that Donald Trump makes false statements at a rate that far surpassed other candidates.
I watched when the World Trade Center came tumbling down, and I watched in Jersey City, New Jersey, where thousands and thousands of people were cheering.
And some have argued that this is not garden variety lying. Trump routinely says things that are obviously untrue, stuff that can be proven wrong in seconds.
Donald supported the invasion of Iraq.
Wrong.
That is absolutely
wrong.
Proved over and over again.
He denies ever having said things that he said on mic earlier that month. He promotes wild conspiracies with no evidence.
But he is a citizen. He produced that long-form birth cert.
Well, a lot of people don't agree with you, and a lot of people feel it wasn't a proper certificate.
Quinta Jurassic with the Brookings Institution wrote an article in the Lawfare blog saying this is not lying, it's BS, and there's a significant difference. She joins us now for This Week in Politics. Quinta Jurassic, welcome.
Pleasure to be here.
Okay, because this is radio, for the purposes of this discussion, we need to substitute a very important word that is the absolute core of your argument with an abbreviation, and that is BS. So first of all, what is the difference between lying and BS?
The distinction I'm drawing here comes from an essay written by philosophy professor Harry Frankfurt. So in a provocatively titled book whose name we can't repeat here, Frankfurt draws a distinction between lying, which he says is done to intentionally obscure the truth, and what we're going to call BS, which is done without any reference to truth at all. So in Frankfurt's terms, BS is a lack of connection to a concern with the truth and an indifference to how things really are. And he argues that for this reason, BS is actually a greater enemy of the truth than lies are.
His book is simply titled On BS, and the word is not abbreviated in the actual title. And this book was written back in 2005, but you say that it anticipates the Trump presidency?
Yeah, it actually anticipates it even more than that, because the essay had originally been published almost 20 years earlier. Frankfurt's work has sort of been passed around for a while, even throughout the campaign, as a really interesting and evocative way to think about Trump's statements. Frankfurt himself actually had a piece in Time magazine suggesting that Trump was a paradigmatic BSer, that he says things and they happen not to be true. But whether or not they're true is almost irrelevant. He's not intentionally trying to deceive us. He's just saying whatever he feels like at any given time. And that's basically the definition of BS in Frankfurt's terms.
You don't think he's intentionally trying to deceive? When Donald Trump tweets that, quote, in addition to winning the Electoral College in a landslide, I won the popular vote if you deduct the millions of people who voted illegally, you don't think he's trying to deceive us?
I think the point is that that's not true, right? And I don't want to ignore the fact that it's not true. But my strong impression is that when Trump tweets that, the fact of the untruth is itself irrelevant. He's making up the reality that he finds convenient at the time. Another example of this you see in his tweet that protesters were being paid to protest in the streets after his electoral victory. That wasn't true. But I think the fact that it was a lie is actually less relevant than the fact that Trump just made up what he felt was the case. He was angry at those Americans who were upset at his victory. As far as he concerns, the protests were illegitimate, and so he said that they were professional protesters. So who cares whether what he said was true?
So therefore, these tweets need to be viewed as BS.
Yes, absolutely.
On January 20th, Donald Trump will take the oath of office to uphold the Constitution and the rule of law. What kind of challenges does a post-truth president present in taking that oath?
I think really profound ones. So if you look at the oath clause of the Constitution, it requires that the president swear to faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. You also see in the Take Care Clause of the Constitution that the president must, quote, take care that the laws be faithfully executed. And the difficulty here is that these clauses commit the president to a level of respect for the Constitution and the rule of law that is fundamentally opposed to the nature of someone who peddles BS.
You say that this will be the LOL nothing matters presidency. What do you mean by that exactly? And what should we expect from a Trump presidency?
So when I use the phrase LOL nothing matters, that's a reference to that phrase, which was passed around a lot on Twitter by political reporters during the campaign season. Whenever Trump peddled some piece of new and ridiculous BS, there would be this string of tweets from politics reporters essentially saying, LOL, nothing matters. And what that means is, on one hand, that Trump's words have no meaning, that he's saying these things that simply have no relation to the facts, but that that doesn't matter as far as he's concerned. And it also meant that the fact that Trump was spewing BS would have no consequences on his electoral prospects, as we've seen. And this sort of brings us to the point that I'm making about Trump's, what I see as Trump's characterological inability to perhaps honor the oath of office, which is that someone who is fundamentally a BSer is someone who has no respect for meaning and has no understanding of consequence. Because if you're a BSer and your action, your words bring about some negative consequence, you can simply say, that didn't happen. I wasn't responsible for that.
Donald thinks that climate change is a hoax perpetrated by the Chinese. I think it's real.
I do not say that.
And I think it's important that we...
If you're saying he has a fundamental inability to uphold the oath of office, what follows from that statement? What are you suggesting?
Well, so I want to be perfectly clear that this is not a legal argument. I don't want to argue that, as his character currently presents itself, he appears to be unable to honor the oath of office, that that in any way means, legally and constitutionally speaking, that he cannot or should not be sworn in. What I want to say, rather, is that there's an incompatibility between the office of the president and the man who we've elected to fill it. We'll see how that plays out. I think we had a very interesting vision of what this might look like in Trump's phone call with the prime minister of Pakistan on Tuesday, where he called the prime minister and appeared to make a number of commitments to Pakistan that he may not actually have understood that he made. And it remains to be seen whether or not both Pakistan and its regional rival and fellow U.S. ally, India, will take those commitments of Trump seriously.
He lavished praise and dealt out what sounds to us like typical Trump BS.
Yes, exactly. And he also said to the prime minister, quote, I'm ready and willing to play any role that you want me to play to address and find solutions to the outstanding problems. So if you're India, you might be a little concerned about that. What I come back to here is President Obama's statement the day after the election.
There are going to be certain elements of his temperament that will not serve him well unless he recognizes them and corrects them.
And what Obama's talking about there when he describes Trump's inaccurate and controversial statements is Trump's BS.
Quinta Jurecic, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Pleasure to be with you.
Quinta Jurecic with the Brookings Institution. She writes for the Lawfare blog, and her latest essay is called On BS and the Oath of Office, the LOL Nothing Matters Presidency.